Very good morning to one and all. Today's topic, as our Deacon Wei An has mentioned, despise not the day of small things. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the prophet, to encourage Zerubbabel and also the children of Israel to have returned from Babylon to rebuild the temple of God. And when the foundation was laid amidst the shouts of praise from the people, if you were to read Ezra chapter 3 verse 11, among the joyous shouts and happiness, many of the aged priests, Levites, and men who had seen the grandeur, the glory of Solomon's temple, they, instead of shouting with joy, they wept. And so here we can see that despite laying the foundation, beginning to build the temple, discouragement has already set in. And this discouragement persisted for 16 years because there was so much opposition, especially from the people of the land, namely the Samaritans. And they were successful to stop the rebuilding of the temple. And so the temple was languishing for 16 years. And the children of Israel were overtaken by their sinful desires, their wrong priorities of life, and kept saying, "This is not the time, this is not the time," you to read the book of Haggai. And selfish desires creep into their hearts. And so there was this long neglect in the rebuilding of the temple because of their discouragement, because of their wrong priority. But we thank God, God is a long-suffering God, and He moved the heart of King Darius, who succeeded Cyrus, the king of Persia, and he found the decree of Cyrus for the rebuilding of the temple. And God has therefore sent Haggai and Zechariah to encourage the children of Israel, and encourage Joshua, the high priest, and also Zerubbabel, the governor of the children of Israel, to start rebuilding the temple. And last Sunday, we have heard from Elder Bing Kiong that we are now in the fifth vision of Zechariah, and today is the following verses of this vision. And we have seen that in this fifth vision, there's this golden lampstand or golden candlestick that Zechariah saw in his vision. And this golden lampstand or golden candlestick has unique features, because beside this lampstand, as we are aware, there are two olive trees. And these two olive trees supply oil to the lampstand via through two branches, and then the branches would supply the oil into a bowl, and the bowl will have seven pipes leading to the seven candles on the lampstand. And you can see that it is like, as what Elder Ng say, it is a machine, automated machine, whereby there's no human hands involved in the supplying of this olive oil to the golden candlestick. So with this vision, God encouraged Zerubbabel and the people that the rebuilding would not be by human might, human resources, human power, but by His Spirit. In verse 6, we read of that last week. And whatever obstacles they may face, and it was described as a mountain, you'll become a plain, you'll be leveled down. So Zerubbabel would indeed complete the rebuilding of the temple, and he would be able to place the headstone or the capstone, signifying the completion of the temple. And so this, with the rebuilt temple, Israel will be reinstated as a witnessing nation, a nation that points to the living and true God, a nation that will glorify God. And this has application for us because we too are the spiritual temple. And individually and as a church, we are to be a witnessing church, a church that points to Jesus, a church that points to the living and true God. And therefore, this work of rebuilding ourselves and the church is not by mere human efforts, but it's by the Spirit of God, by God's grace upon us. But coming back to where the context or where Zechariah was at that time, even though with all these visions, if you were to be there, you can see that the place, the premises, were but ruins filled with debris, with broken down walls and dust, accumulation of dust, and in reality, it is indeed a very, very difficult task to rebuild the temple. And so laying the foundation was really a small thing to Zerubbabel and to the people, because it is such a mammoth task to rebuild the temple without the resources that they could have compared to the times of King David, whereby he was king of the glorious Israel. He was able to have the resources to buy all the timbers and the stones and all the materials for the building of the temple. And so God had to reprove his people. And in verse 10 we read that, "For who had despised the day of small things?" Who had despised the day of small things? And basically it is to let the children of Israel, Zerubbabel, the civil ruler of the Israel, to remind them that you must trust in this God you believe. And so Bible history records for us how God used the day of small things when God wanted to set the plan of salvation in motion. What did he do? He called a 75-year-old man from the land of Ur to go into the land of Canaan. When he wanted to overthrow Egypt and set his people free, he used the sound of a wailing baby, a crying baby. And of course that was Moses, and how the princess of Egypt managed to discover the baby and brought Moses into the palace. And conquering a giant, he did not use another giant from Israel, for they don't have giants like the giant Goliath. God used a shepherd boy, a young shepherd boy, not with a spear or a sword, but a sling and a smooth stone. And for our great Savior, who came to this world to save us from our sin, he came with a small beginning, with a humble beginning. He was but a weak baby born in a stable. And when Jesus began his ministry, began to build up his kingdom, he commenced with 12 ordinary men, not 12 wise men or men who are of stature and power, but 12 ordinary men who were mostly unlearned. And to feed more than 5,000 in Galilee, what did he use? Jesus used a little boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, 2 sardine fishes. So never despise the day of small things and elevate the big significant things in your life. For God is glorified in small things, in the day of small things, and uses them to accomplish great things. And remember, our Lord often referred to the small beginnings of his kingdom, comparing them to seeds, like the parable of the sower, the seeds, and a grain of mustard seed, and even a little leaven. So what is the day of small things for us? It could be your desire to read your Bible daily, a chapter a day, a passage a day, a simple prayer that you have begun to pray in the morning or during the day, or the small group, very small group Bible study you have decided to join, or you have decided to have a one-to-one follow-up with a fellow brother or sister in Christ over lunch, or saying, I love you, three simple words to your spouse, and maybe a sincere word of encouragement to a fellow or brother, a sister who is going through difficulties, who is on the bed of affliction, a simple WhatsApp text to them, or words of thanks and praise to someone who has helped you, or a praise to your child who has helped you somehow and some way in the family through your difficulties. You praise him, and when you come to church to serve, your role is just arranging of the chairs, dealing with simple logistics. These are the day of small things. And young fathers who have begin to start a 10 to 15 minutes of family worship and learning the ropes as a junior employee in the workplace, and also the simple and mundane exercises and therapy you have to do to regain your psychomotor skills and your speech after suffering a stroke or having met an accident. So these are the day of small things, and we shouldn't despise them, because it will lead to great things. It will lead to much effectiveness in our lives. And so this morning we are reminded from the passage we read, that in the day of small things, there are three lessons to be learned. God is in it, and we have to persevere on in it. And out of our response, we must serve him unreservedly, meaning to serve him with our best. So let us look at the first lesson. And God is in your day of small things. So the God whom we believe has no beginnings, but he is in the day of our small beginnings, in the day of our small things. He encouraged Zerubbabel and his people with his word through Zechariah. And none of his word shall fall to the ground, and God's word shall never fail. And that is our God. And when we begin our day of small things, always remember God is in that day of our small things. You are not alone. Even though how insignificant it is, you may feel, what for? Useless. No need to do all this. But if you were to remember God is in the day of small things, you will be encouraged to start it, to proceed with it, and to follow through it. And so the word of God will never fall to the ground. The word of God will never fail. And when we look at verse 9, you could see how the Lord's promise will be fulfilled as prophesied by Zechariah. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. So this is a picture to the children of Israel in 519 BC as they start the rebuilding, that God has already mentioned to Zerubbabel through Zechariah that he would lay the foundation, his hands also shall finish it, and he shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And so remember, our God has that great power, not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. He is the Lord of hosts. He emphasizes that God is able. God is able to see us through. And He who opened the Red Sea, He who calmed the tempestuous storm, promised that the day of small beginnings, like laying the foundation, will see to its completion. And therefore, we must have that heart of faith and trust, and to know that when God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. So God will supply all His needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus, as seen from the two olive trees, the unlimited supply of God to burn the candles on the candlestick. So God's supply will flow to us, and that's how powerful, how gracious our God is. So remember, as we start the day of small things, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply, as what Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, told us. So God will supply His grace unlimitedly by the Holy Spirit, represented by the golden oil from the olive trees. And so therefore, we ought to have that comfort, that assurance in our hearts, that peace, that no matter how small and insignificant my contribution to my family or to the work of God in the church, God will honor it, because I have not despised the day of small things. So be careful of thinking that your life is small and insignificant. You are of great value to God. God has chosen you before the foundation of this world, and God will surely, surely bless your day of small things. Don't despise the humble beginnings. Don't despise that it's just a text of encouragement. It's just a pat on someone's back to encourage him, or it is just a cup of water, cold water to that person. God will bless your day of small things. So one more thing to note is, it will be foolish for us to feel discouraged when we compare ourselves with those who have been successful in their ministries, in their career, and remember, many of them have their day of small beginnings, their day of small things. They started with the day of small things. So it would be foolish for us to compare them at where their level is. So it's with these small beginnings that they have reached their milestone one after another. And therefore, we ought not to feel discouraged and never to compare ourselves with others, but to remember God is in the day of our small things. And the second lesson we learn is that we must persevere on in the day of small things. Zechariah 4:10 says that, "For who had despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hands of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth." Therefore, we must remember, as we serve the Lord, as we rebuild our lives, rebuild the church, we must cling on to the promise of God, relying solely on the Holy Spirit, and not to think that we can be God ourselves, we can do it by our own strength and might. And we can see Zerubbabel, he was holding a plummet or a plumb line. And this plummet or plumb line, as what Reverend Ho has explained to us, is to measure how vertical the wall would be. And is used during the early stages of the construction project. So when Zerubbabel had this plummet in his hand, you could see that he would not let The day of small things affect him. The discouragement that would have discouraged him, he has already overcome it. And he, when he see the ruins, the debris, and all that is before him, he would hold the plummet in his hand. And he took the responsibility and the ownership of rebuilding the temple. And therefore, we ought to have that. We must have that responsibility and ownership of our lives and ownership of the church. This church is to be a beacon of light to others. And therefore, we are not to give up when things are hard, when there's things that are not according to your way. So never think that it was very easy for Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple, especially without today's technology, automation and machines. So it is very hard work under the sun, under the weather elements, very labor intensive. They have to strain every sinew of their muscles to move the massive stones one after another, piling on top of each other. And if you are there, it will be so easy just to give up, and with all the opposition coming in. But Zerubbabel and God's people persevered on. They believed that they believed on God's promise and trusted in his supply of the grace and power. They rejoiced because they knew who God is to them. So with these words, it says, "For they shall rejoice," shows that their heart, they are willing to put their hands into the work and rejoicing that God, the Lord of hosts, is with them. And those seven eyes, the word seven means perfection, and it means that God is with them. God is all seeing, and the seven eyes depict his omniscience, that God will, in his providence, in his omniscience, will see through it the completion of the temple. So neither Satan nor any power in the world will be able to hinder the rebuilding work. And therefore, we are reminded also from Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." So this is what Zerubbabel and God's people did. They persevered on despite the discouragement they have felt, despite the massive task that was ahead of them. And so we ought therefore to persevere on in rebuilding our lives, our family lives, our church life, because we often have this impatience in us. And this is very true, especially when we live in a culture of impatience and instant gratification in this fast-paced world. And with this rise of technology, we have become accustomed to getting what we want when we want it instantly. And we have become so accustomed to instant gratification that we have lost sight of the value of patience, diligence, and hard work, and of course, perseverance. We want everything now without having to put in the effort to earn it. And this has led to a generation of entitled individuals who expect success and happiness to be handed to them instantly or on a silver platter. So let us remember, the day of small things are important, and when we overcome our obstacles and we reach milestones after milestones, it takes a long time at times. And so let us remember, to become successful, it requires patience, perseverance, and dedication to God and to the work that he has entrusted to us. So therefore, we need to persevere on. The work may progress slowly. You may not see the results instantly, but don't be discouraged. The work of grace will have started in the day of small things. The plummet is in good hands. The plummet is now in our Master's hands. That is Jesus Christ, who will surely accomplish what He would want us to do in His life. And Jesus Himself says that He is the finisher, He is the author and finisher of our faith. So never give up in the day of small things, as what Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God will be the one who have begun a good work in you and will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, when Christ come again for us. So we ought to have that assurance, we ought to have that confidence in Him. So never despise the day of small things, persevere in it. Remember, God is in the day of small things. And the third lesson we learn is that we must serve God unreservedly in the day of small things. And this you can see from 11 to 14, verses 11 to 14. So we can serve God wholeheartedly with our best, because we know that God's supply of His grace will be upon us. God will provide for us. And if God gave His only begotten Son unreservedly to save us from condemnation, from death, from hell, therefore, we ought not to be discouraged by the small things we face in life. Because if He loved us so much, He will be able to help us, to be gracious to us, to be merciful to us, to have compassion upon us, to see us through. And so when Zechariah began to inquire in verse 11 about the two olive trees, the angel, the interpreting angel, responded to him. And so here we can see in verse 11, it says, then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And the angel did not answer him this question. And why so? We do not know. Perhaps to enhance the prophet's desire of understanding the vision and to induce him to make the question more definite. So Zechariah alters his question and asks again about what is the olive branches. And so these olive branches, the word branches is different from the word in verse 8 of chapter 3 and verse 12 of chapter 6. This word branch means the ears of corn, meaning the olive berries that have been produced from the branches. So he's asking, well, all these olive berries, what does it mean? And the angel replied exactly as what we read in verse 5. He asked Zechariah, don't you know what these are? Basically, it's not to ridicule him nor upbraid him with ignorance for his ignorance, but as a reminder to Zechariah that he should have known the significance of what he is seeing. Perhaps he should understand the profuse supply of the oil gave the promise of divine enablement. He ought therefore to exert himself to understand and to prophesy to Zerubbabel, to encourage Zerubbabel and the people to start the rebuilding of the work. And so therefore, we ought to know that God has given us the spiritual eyes to see who He is, what Jesus has done for us, and His supply of His grace upon us is so profuse. And what is our response? Are we still ignorant of what God has done for us, His love for us, that we do not put our hands to serve Him, to love Him, to obey Him? So here we can see that this Zechariah or this interpreting angel responded to the prophet's question, "These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." So the two anointed ones, if it's a literal translation, a wooden translation, would be sons of the oil. It means sons of the oil. And interestingly, the sons of the oil, which the King James translate as the two anointed ones, it means the special servants, and the word oil here is different from the anointing oil of how the priests and the kings were anointed. It's a different kind of another word for oil. And this oil in Zechariah refers to the fresh oil that comes from the olive trees. And therefore, when God wrote, or the Holy Spirit wrote, the two anointed ones as the sons of fresh oil, it brings Zechariah to the source of the oil, that is the two olive trees. And not only that, the fresh oil symbolizes the land's cultural abundance that they would be having in the near future. And therefore, these sons of oil, under the leadership of Zerubbabel, and who refers to Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest, they would restore the agricultural prosperity to the land. And this is in accordance to the promise found in Haggai chapter 2 verse 19 and Zechariah chapter 3 verse 10, that the land will prosper with abundance of the agriculture products. So these sons of oil, as I mentioned, refers to the high priest Joshua and to the governor Zerubbabel. The king, Zerubbabel, represents the king, and high priest Joshua. And we also know that it's a picture of the king priest, that Jesus would fulfill this role. And it has a messianic element in it to point to us that this would be the King Priest Jesus, who will give us the enablement to live for Him, to serve Him, and that His grace upon us, the gifts that He has given to us to serve Him, will be pouring from Him. He will be the source. And for this Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest, they will stand with the Lord of the earth. They will stand with the Lord of the earth, meaning that they stand with a position of dignity and a position of waiting upon the Lord to receive His commands, His instruction, ready to execute His divine commands or will upon their lives. And they are to standing next to the Lord of the earth means they live consciously near to God too. So therefore, we too are God's children. We are of the royal priesthood, and we ought to serve Him, knowing that we serve the Lord God, and we stand next to Him, knowing that we are the ones chosen by Him to bring the gospel to others, to bring the grace of God to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to build up this church, to strengthen this church. So the angelic interpreter promised Zerubbabel that he would finish the temple. And this is through Zechariah the prophet, as Zechariah would give these visions to Zerubbabel and to Joshua the high priest. And therefore, we see that from 519 and then up to 516, the rebuilding effort was in place. And by 516 BC, God, through in His enablement, helped Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple, to complete the temple. So God's word is true. So remember that these olive trees is not just found in the book of Zechariah, it's also found in the book of Revelation. And it looks forward to the restoration of Israel in the millennium. And the olive trees and the lampstands symbolize the light of revival. And like Joshua and Zerubbabel in the book of Revelation reveals that there'll be two witnesses in the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, but they will lead a spiritual revival of Israel, culminating in the building of the millennial temple that was prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48. So there's so much hope awaiting for all of us as his servants. So let us serve our best and to know that we don't serve him with our own strength, but the source of our strength and enablement and our grace comes from the olive trees, come from God himself. So don't despise the day of small things. Remember these three lessons, that in the day of small things, God is with you. Persevere on, serve your best, even in the day of the small and humble beginnings of your life. So just remember that God will guide you and God will surely help you. And so may the Lord help us not to despise the day of small things. May the Lord grant us his grace to work for him, to serve him with our heart, soul, strength and mind. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this word from Zechariah to remind us how we ought not to despise the day of small things, because you are our big God who will help us. So I pray that you will bless us in our endeavor to rebuild our own lives, lives of our family members, and also the church life. So we pray, Father, for your mercies, for your grace upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.